All right, we want to praise the Lord tonight on this Wednesday night in the house of God.
Yeah.
Had one out there in the parking lot waiting when we got here. That's always a blessing. And I do appreciate Sister Brenda's enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. She said, we're having church tonight or what? And I would to God we had more of that.
Amen.
Tell you what, buddy, there's a shortage of that kind of enthusiasm. I praise God for Sister Brenda being here tonight and just her the effort she put forth to be here and beat us here. And I tell you what, I'll take that any day of the week. Amen. We finished up Acts chapter number 2 last time. We had a Wednesday night service and I wasn't able to be here last Sunday, not just the weather, but I had a bunch of pipes busted on the house, and had to get up underneath there and fix all of that, and couldn't shave, and man, I tell you what, I look like kind of like a Bigfoot there. I got pretty woolly there, but I'm glad I got all shaved up.
Little woolly bugger.
Yeah, got some of them good at Dollar General store Tomahawk. Big razors like to scalp me. But we finished up Acts chapter number 2. And before we get started tonight, we're going to have a word of prayer.
Yes.
A lot of things will change next year. One thing won't change, and that's the Lord and the Word of God. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And His Word is the same yesterday, today and forevermore.
That's right.
They're kind of one and the same. And Donnie was talking to me this morning, and he's pretty excited. He'd been reading his Bible, and he said, Eddie, he said, you know what? It's like I never read it before. Some of that stuff was like it was brand new to me. And I was telling him, I said, that's why Jesus told us to continue in His Word.
Yes.
We know the truth, and truth will make us free. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be rather transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we need to be renewed. I'll be on my 20th time in 2023. I'll be on my 20th time of reading my Bible through. And I'm just like Donnie. It's like it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, God's bread doesn't get stale. The heavenly manna is always fresh. It's always seemed like addresses my needs as I need them. And I thank God for the Word of God. But we got a lot of things we're going to be dealing with next year. Oh, I'm a little optimistic about some of it. But the Lord, He could come get us before it gets too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing already the evidence of the Antichrist spirit and getting more organized in the Antichrist effort. John said, even now are there many Antichrists in the world. And that's about where we're at. But they've been kind of muted. Now they've come out of the closet. Now they're more militant, more vocal.
Yeah.
And anyway, I've read the back of the book. And praise God, we're more than conquerors. We win.
That's right.
And it's going to look like they win till the Lord shows up. And then they're going to try to find a hiding place.
That's
right. We're going to have a word of prayer tonight. Got a lot of people still recovering from sickness. These old frail bodies, boy, just don't take much. We want to pray for our sick. We want to pray for those that we'd like to see back in church. We want to pray for this coming year. I got a lot of things on my heart tonight. Father, we thank You for Your blessings this year. We thank You, Father, for all You've done. Lord, what we've been allowed to see, what we've been allowed to know, and Lord, was assured of the fact, Lord, it was Your hand that done it. We thank You for that. We're thankful, Lord, to be here tonight. We're thankful, Father, Lord, for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the blessings of God. Lord, bless your church, Lord. Bless your children, Lord. Help us, Lord, in the hour we're living in, Father. Lord, that we might draw nigh to you and you might draw nigh to us. We've still got a lot of sick people, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I know for a fact if Sister Joanne could be here tonight, she'd be here. And we just pray you'd send a blessing her way.
Yeah.
We pray for her, Lord. We pray, Lord, Father, for Lord Rita and Joe and Eric. We pray, Lord, Father, for Deanie and Sue. We pray, dear Father God, for Miranda, Mark, Caden, and Tavian. We pray, dear Lord, for Brother Mitchell, Sister Phyllis. Pray, Lord, Father, for Sister Sharon, Sister Sybil. Lord, we pray for James and Patty. We pray, dear Father, Lord, for Lord, Brother Patrick, Sister Sarah, Little Lucy, Brother Chase, Brother Jake, Brother Micah. Lord, we pray, Father God, for James Jr. and Star. Lord, we pray for Jordan and Casey. We pray, dear Father, Brother Jerry, Sister Carolyn, their son Danny, and his wife Tammy. Lord, Little Abby, Little Thomas, Little Landon, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Father, for all our young people, Lord. We pray for Brother Larry and Carol. We pray for Little Serenity and Little Leroy. I pray for Sister Brenda Goth. Lord, she's here tonight. Brother Ed, Lord, he's here tonight. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, they're here tonight. We just want to lift them all up, Lord, and ask God you to help us, Lord. Your word says you're the Lord God that healeth us. The psalmist said, I look to the hills, which come of my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, made heaven and earth. And Lord, we know you're never very far from any one of us. Your word says we can find you if we fell after you. And Lord, help our country, Lord. It saddens my heart to see some of the decisions, Lord, that this great nation has made, knowing the price of it. Even your word says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all the nations that forget God, your word says you're angry with the wicked every day. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for this world to have one more. Lord, a minimum of repentance, Lord, from the greatest to the least.
Yes, Lord.
That they might proclaim, Lord, that they need your forgiveness. And they might seek it, Lord, and call upon you. It's rich and mercy, all that call upon you. We just want to give you praise tonight. Help us all, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Like I said, we finished up Acts chapter 2 last week. We want to read just a little bit of that last chapter before we start here in chapter number 3. In verse 41 said, they that gladly received his word. Boy, I remember when I gladly received his word.
Yeah.
Were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I can only imagine here at Landmark trying to get 3,000 people in here to get saved, but I'd like to see it, amen?
Yeah.
And they continued. That's real important. Continuing. Paul, I think he wrote the book of Hebrews. I certainly wouldn't be dogmatic if someone had another opinion about that. But he said in Hebrews chapter 5, he said, let us go on. Leaving the doctrine of baptism, let us go on unto perfection. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. That's one thing when you get saved, that's wonderful. But you need to continue. You need to grow. Peter said, as newborn babes in Christ,
yes,
desire the sincere milk of the word, you may grow thereby. And it's a continual thing. I'm continually learning. I'm continually growing. I'm continually finding things in the word of God that are needful. And verse 43 said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as ever man had need. You know, they had compassion, they had charity. They just really, for lack of better words, they just helped one another. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. Did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, God put His blessing upon their continual efforts, their daily one accord in the temple. God put His blessings on that. Now we're in chapter 3. And this chapter will start to talk about persecution of the church. You know, you get to doing something right, and you can just count on the sarcasm, the mockers, the ridiculers. Yeah. You can just count on those that will come against you and try to overthrow your work. Before I get in this lesson, let me just say this. I talked to a man today, asked him to be saved, and church had left a bad taste in his mouth. He said, "Hey, I used to go to church." He said, "I don't go hardly any at all anymore." And I like to say this to my fellow pastors, preachers, and teachers. Don't muddy the water up. Keep it simple. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3, Paul said, "I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve in the garden, that your mind should be corrupted by the simplicity that's in Christ." Mm-hmm. Keep it simple. Don't try to put the fruit too high. I remember me and my pastor went out to a house, a man I'd grown up with, Freddie Belcher. We actually went out there to see Freddie, talked to him about getting saved, and he wasn't there, but his wife was there. And as we was talking to Freddie Belcher's wife, his young daughter just teared up. And my pastor was talking to Freddie Belcher's wife. He had it in such a simple, easy to understand a message that the little girl got saved. She said, I want to get saved. I want Jesus in my life. But keep it simple. You know, Jesus loved the church, gave Himself for it. And I don't want to put any church down. But don't put the fruit so high. Keep it within reach. Amen.
That's right.
Well, Peter and James went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. I see a lot of people, even today, doing a lot of panhandling.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what this guy was doing. But he couldn't help himself. It wasn't like he had any other option. He was lame. And he was lame from his mother's womb. And someone carried him there. And verse 3 says, "Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms." In other words, he held a cup out. You got to, you know, I guess it's Ben Crosby, "Buddy, can you spare a dime?" But Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." This man had seen a lot of things, I'm sure. Probably heard maybe some sarcasm. People put him down. But Peter and John, they said, "Look on us."
Mm-hmm.
He gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. They got his attention. Then Peter said, and I hope you get what he says here tonight. Silver and gold have I none? But he wasn't without something to give. He said that such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I heard somebody say, instead of giving somebody a fish, teach them how to fish.
Yeah.
You can help them better.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, seeing the problem of this man, he's lame, he can't take care of himself, they carry him. Everywhere he's at, someone's carried him there. And Peter says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. You know, this is a picture of salvation.
Yes, that's right.
I was dead in trespasses and sins. I have to admit I couldn't help myself. But there were others that knew the Lord. They could help me to know the Lord. Verse 8 says, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, and he was walking and leaping. Here we are again and praising God.
Right.
I tell you what, buddy, if you knew the Lord like you ought to know him, you'd be praising God too.
That's right.
I catch myself sometimes complaining, realizing that I don't have anything to complain about.
Mm-mm.
Realizing, you know, that I ought to be praising God instead of complaining. Well, this boy here, he got right with it. And he's walking and he's praising God. And they knew that it was he which set the arms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, it's called Solomon's, greatly wondering. You know, when you get saved, one thing you'll notice, it'll draw a crowd.
Yes, it will.
Some of them will be skeptics.
Yeah.
Some of them will have sarcasm. Mm-hmm. They'll say, well, we'll see how long this lasts. I guess there's still some people wondering when I'm going to get off the wagon. I haven't drunk anything for 34 years. But I've been drinking a better drink. I've been drinking from the fountain of God.
Yes, yes.
And I have to admit it. Don't knock it. But here, it drawed the crowd. And when Peter saw it, he saw this crowd. He answered unto the people. You know, Peter's got a little preach in him.
Yeah.
Brother Ed, he sees opportunity here.
That's right.
He's got a crowd here.
Mm-hmm.
He says, ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? He's saying, Brenda, he says, I'm not Benny Hinn.
That's right.
He said, I didn't have nothing to do with this. He said, I just want y'all to know I don't have holiness. I don't have power. He says, verse 13, the God of Abraham,
amen,
and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Pilate was in one of them political dilemmas. He wanted to let Jesus go.
Yeah.
But they said, if you let this man go, you're no friend of Caesar. And that political dilemma, he done something he didn't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Washed his hand and said, take ye him and crucify him. I find no fault in him. But politically, his hands were tied. He wanted to let Jesus go.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14, he said, but ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light.
Right.
Because their deeds are evil, neither come they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. They chose sin over righteousness, and the same goes on today. He said that ye denied the Holy One and the just and desire to murder be granted unto you. Let me say this a little bit real quick here. When the Jews said his blood be upon us and on our children, they've been paying that price ever since they made that statement.
Yeah.
Titus destroyed Jerusalem 70 AD. Hitler killed 6 million Jews.
Yeah.
And even today they're still being persecuted because of that curse that they brought upon themselves. Just so full of hatred that they said his blood be on us and on our children, it come with a terrible price. Verse 15, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God have raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. You know that empty grave still speaks volumes today.
Yes, Lord.
Paul said, if Christ be not risen from the dead, we're false witnesses. He said, our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain.
Yeah.
He said, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die.
Right.
But thanks to Jesus getting up, the first fruits of the resurrection, showing himself alive, here the apostles said, we were witnesses and they saw him alive. We don't have to worry about the grave. We don't have to worry about death. He conquered death. Not only did he conquer death, the Bible said he destroyed him that had the power of death, which is the devil, in Hebrews chapter 2. I kind of like eternal life. I don't know about everybody else, but the last thing on my mind is dying.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, and his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. I mean, he didn't have no one to argue with him. I mean, it's here and too big to argue with. It says, you see and know, and this perfect soundness in the presence of y'all. In other words, Peter said, I got plenty of evidence right here. This is the boy that was begging alms. This is the boy now that's running, leaping, praising God. Verse 17, now, brethren, I wot not that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. You see, they didn't know that Jesus was the Christ. I don't know if I can find this verse or not. I hope I can. But it talks about if the princes of this world had known. Here you go. Turn right to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So Peter says, through your ignorance you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know no better. Even though Jesus told them, they just couldn't receive it. That he was who he said he was. And when he got up, they still denied it.
Yeah.
But here, it's kind of hard to deny. And he said, and now, brethren, I wasn't through ignorance. You did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled every prophecy concerning himself. And of course in Psalms, Isaiah 53, Isaiah 52. Reason I said Isaiah 52, his vestige, his body was marred more than any man. He didn't even look human. I'm talking about the beating that Jesus took. He didn't even look human. Isaiah 52, verse number 14, said his vestige, his body, was so marred more than any man. He didn't even look human from the beating.
His own mother didn't recognize him, did she?
She recognized him, but it was a pitiful sight.
Okay. I think the Bible said that she could.
She'd been with him every step of the way.
Yeah, I know.
He said, "Woman, behold thy son." And he told John, "Behold your mother." And she saw the blunt, you know, the worst of the worst concerning her son Jesus.
Yeah.
He says here, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world begun." This has been the plan of God since the beginning of time.
Amen.
That Jesus should be slain for the sins of the world. I know with us, we don't really understand that, but God already knew man was going to fall, man was going to fail, and God already had a redemption plan in place before Adam ever sinned. It didn't take God by surprise. He says, since the world began, all His holy prophets had already spoken about what was going to happen at Calvary. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you." Now these are Jews that Peter's talking to, and he makes this reference about Moses pointing to Jesus, and he says in verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." And he says, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham." He went back further than Moses. He's back to Abraham now. "And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed."
Mm-hmm.
That promise that God made Abraham was through Christ. All of the nations can be blessed. You know, Abraham couldn't bless, but Christ could bless.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ was the seed of David, which was the seed of Abraham. "And in thy seed," and that's a reference to Christ, "shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." See, I wasn't born a Jew.
Mm-mm.
I wanted the blessing of God. And through Christ, now I'm a seed of Abraham.
Amen.
I was always jealous of them Jews. I thought, man, why couldn't I be born a Jew? And I found out I got born again and became a Jew anyway.
That's right.
In Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, the Bible said, "And if you be Christ," and I'm not my own, "been bought with a price." He said, "Then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." That's the last verse of Galatians chapter 3. So I got in through Jesus, amen. And that's why this verse says, "In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." He said, "Unto you first, God having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Now this next chapter is real special to me. I'm glad we made it to chapter 4. There's one verse in here that I'll probably spend a little time on. It's verse number 12. But now Peter's got his crowd. He's been preaching. He's presented this boy that's lame. Now he's not lame. He's leaping. He's praising God.
Right.
Now look who shows up. "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. You see, religion, salvation says done.
Mm-hmm.
Religion says do.
That's right.
And even though they're a lot alike, they're different.
Yeah.
Religion hates salvation and persecutes salvation. Salvation, hey, we're not mad at nobody. Praise God. We got our eyes open. We understand. But religion, they're blind leaders of the blind. And they just can't. Jesus told Nicodemus, and he was a religious leader, he said, except you be born again, in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said, you cannot see.
Mm-mm.
They just can't see it. Cannot see the kingdom of God. They say, I just don't see it that way. Well, they can't until they get their eyes open.
Amen.
But here, Peter's been preaching. He's presented this boy healed. Now here comes the critics. In verse 2, these religious leaders, they're grieved, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They don't like the message, Brother Ed.
No, that's right.
They laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. They arrested them.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor, I got to watch them. Sunday morning, there wasn't very many. About like here, just had just a scattered few.
Yeah.
Rick was talking about Mary had a little lamb.
Mm.
And he used that little nursery rhyme to preach a great message. But he said everywhere that Mary went, that little lamb was sure to follow.
Yeah.
The last point in his message was, he said one day, he said, you may see Brother Rick, with his hands cuffed, with shackles on his feet, heading to the jail. But he said, I won't be going alone. He no. said, the lamb will follow.
Right.
And boy, he got a good point in right there. It was good all the way.
Mm.
But here, they laid hands on them, put them in hold, which means jail, prison, until the next day. For it was now eventide. They wanted to get rid of them, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
Even though religion wanted to get rid of salvation, religion needs salvation. It just don't understand it.
You know what he preached on there Sunday morning? I believe I'll live to see that day.
I believe we will too.
Yeah,
he was talking about next year. He said you might see this. Persecutions.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, it's just like right here. It's religion,
yeah,
persecuting,
right.
Salvation.
That's it.
I don't have no quarrel with nobody. Hey,
uh-huh.
He set me free. He gave me peace and joy.
Yeah, that's right.
I, you know, religion, boy, they just want to be the winner.
That's it.
They want to be right. And they can never be right. They can never win because of victory. Paul said, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory, and that victory is in Jesus.
That's
you just
right.
can't win without Jesus.
No.
That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But he said, howbeit, many of them which heard that word, boy, it's hard to stop light.
Mm.
Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you what that preached. Peter was a pretty good preacher.
Yeah, he was.
And he took advantage of the crowd that come up when the lame man got healed, and looks like he reached about 5,000. Verse 5 said, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, they've got Peter and John. I don't know if they got this lame boy got healed or not, but I know for sure they got Peter and John. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? You know, religion just can't understand it.
Mm-mm.
They just can't get it. Mm-hmm. So here they are trying the old devil talk way. Verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, Peter wasn't without help.
No, he wasn't.
You know, the Bible talks about then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, take no thought what you shall say.
Right.
For he said it'll be given to you in that hour. Well, here Peter is. He's right before them. They've done threatened them. They've double talked them. By what means have you done this? Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all. Peter's got a little boldness now. The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. Well, he's pretty bold right here. He said, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. You see, some of these are Sadducees. Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. But he says, and it's just a joke, but he says, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, talking about Jesus, doeth this man stand here before you whole. It's kind of hard to argue with a man been born from his mother's womb lame,
yeah,
and here he is standing.
Right.
He said, this man stand here before you whole. So I guess they arrested him too.
Probably so.
Yeah. He said, verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Mm. This verse right here, I'm going to spend a little time on. I like this verse 12.
Mm.
This is about as clear as it can get. He said, neither is there salvation in any other.
Right.
Now, when it comes to salvation, Peter gets it about as clear as it can get right here. He said, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Yeah.
Now, if we must be saved, we must know that there's no other name, and we must know there's no other way, or we'll never be saved.
Amen, that's right.
And this name, Jesus, they hate that name.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want nothing to do with Jesus.
No.
He wants something to do with them. But Peter put it pretty clear right here.
Yes, he did.
He said, neither is there salvation in any other. It's not the Baptist way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Church of Christ way.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Catholic way. It's not the Methodist way. It's not the Jehovah Witness way. It's not the Mormon way. It's Jesus only. You'll never, ever see heaven without Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door.
That's right.
If any man enter in, he shall be saved.
Amen.
You'll not find another door to heaven except the door Jesus. Jesus said, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. No other way to get to God except through Jesus. He's our mediator between us and God. When he was crucified on the cross, Brenda, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top all the way down to the bottom, making the way into the Holy of Holies, that old Brother Eddie can go in there now and talk to God. He's that new and living way. But he said there's no salvation in none other but Jesus. No other name. No other way. Clear as it gets right there, verse 12.
That's right.
And I've argued with people. They just won't let it go.
Mm-mm.
They'll say, I know, but you just got to get your butt out of the way. It's pretty clear right here.
Oh,
neither.
So
neither is a pretty good word.
Yeah.
In other words, he said nothing else. Neither is there salvation in any other. Now, I like this verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter, Peter had been kind of bashful, but now he's bold. He always, well, he denied the Lord three times, but he always lacked boldness. He's got it now. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, boy, they had some good credentials. When I say they had some good credentials, let me tell you why I'm saying that. You know, God, He does the choosing. And in the choosing, I was getting ready to put looking for my glasses. It says, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God have chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God have chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, the base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. You know, they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They couldn't figure out how Peter could be so bold. They couldn't figure out how this lame man could be healed. Why couldn't they heal him? Why couldn't the Sadducees and the priests and the Pharisees see they couldn't do it? And they see this boldness, Peter and John, and they perceive that they were unlearned, ignorant men. It says they marveled. They took knowledge of them. They'd been with Jesus. Boy, there was only one conclusion. They said there's something about these boys right here. It couldn't be denied. It was so obvious that, you know, they didn't have no ground to stand on. They took knowledge of them. They'd been with Jesus. Verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I'm telling you, they didn't have no ground to stand on. They couldn't throw no rocks. They couldn't do anything. Verse 15, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. They're kind of like the January 6th committee, trying to figure out something that'll stick. Been slinging mud, and so far none of it stuck. They're not giving up, but it's the same thing. It's a council to somehow overthrow this great miracle, to diminish from its greatness. And they got counsel here. They confer among themselves. Verse 16 says, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They're in denial, because they still don't want to accept it. Verse 17, they said, but that it spread no further. Good luck with that. Good luck with that effort. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, again bold now, answered and said unto them, will it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God? Judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done, for the man was above 40 years old. Mm. Brenda, lame from his mother's womb for 40 years, this boy had been lame.
Mm-hmm.
For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. We'll stop on that verse right there, verse 22. I love this lesson tonight. Like I said, don't muddy the waters. Stay with the Word of God. Don't have a hidden agenda. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive others. Let God be God.
Amen.
Be a promoter of truth, not heresy. I don't really have no trumpet to toot. I just want to lift up Jesus. I just want to be a blessing as a burden. For 34 years, just want to be a blessing now. And we'll stop right there. Anybody got any comment? If not, we'll dismiss in prayer. Did you get anything out of that, Brenda?
Oh, yeah, I did. And I just want God to help me. I want to have a renewed heart and mind.
To stay humble.
And I just, yeah. I just love Him. I want to be more like
Him. I know you love Him.
I do, but I know I fail Him every
day. Well, we all do. Yeah. God already took that in consideration. He compensated for our failing, His expectation. Paul said, that which I would, I do not. That which I would not, he said, that I do. He said, oh wretched man that I am.
Yeah.
He said, thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. Even with us coming short, we still don't fall behind. We're still accepted in the blood.
Amen.
We're still in the family of God.
Right.
Still heirs to the riches of heaven. And let me turn this thing off.